Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Film critic Dan Hudak previews the second annual Key West Film Festival later on our program. Chef Norman Van Aken delivers a word on food. And our arts calendar features Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Now our classical arts contributor, Charles Greenfield, brings us the latest from South Florida's oldest and greatest opera company.
This year, the Florida Grand Opera celebrates its 73rd season in their home of over 6 years at the Arts Center's Ziff Ballet Opera House and the Broward Center for the Performing Arts. While its ambitious and costly program in 2006-07 consisted of 6 productions, this season's production schedule for Dade and Broward audiences finds a comfortable schedule of 4 productions. In terms of management, the Florida Grand Opera has made a major leadership change with the recent retirement of longtime General Director and CEO Robert Heuer for its new GD and CEO, Susan T. Dennis. An arts administrator for over 20 years, Dennis has most recently served as executive director of the Sarasota Opera for the past 14 years. The 2013-14 schedule consists of a contemporary piece, Morning Becomes Electra, regarded as one of America Opera's finest contemporary operas and composed by Fort Lauderdale resident Martin David Levy. 2 Italian classics, Verdi's Nabucco and Puccini's Tosca, and a French work that is seldom played in South Florida, Massenet's Thais. Susan Dennis's daring debut season will kick off at the Broward Center November 7th with the Southeast premiere of the challenging Morning Becomes Electra. To assess the changes in direction and make more sense of the upcoming productions, I recently spoke to the Florida Grand Opera General Director and CEO, Susan Dennis. Susan Dennis, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you very much.
Susan, this is your second season as CEO and General Director. What has the transition been like, and how do you assess the new direction you are taking the Florida Grand Opera?
It's been a great transition. I had great singers and operas lined up last year for me by our former General Director, Robert Heuer. And really, this year is my statement on Florida Grand Opera, taking us in a little bit more of a more thought-provoking direction, with some operas that are new to the South Florida community that will hopefully stretch them a little bit, but yet with our standards, still give them operas that they're comfortable with.
Now, I wonder if you could talk a bit about FGO's economic well-being and its outreach to the community, especially for students with dress rehearsals and the Young Artist Studio Program.
Great. I'll start with the educational aspect of it. We are expanding our Young Artist Program. We've grown from 8 to 11 artists and continue to grow that program actually into a 2-level program. And in terms of outreach to the community, it goes way beyond the dress rehearsal program. We do outreach programs in schools, in libraries, all throughout Miami-Dade as well as Broward County. So we do our very, very best with a small group and a very small education staff to cover children from every aspect of the community all the way up through middle school and high schoolers who do indeed attend the dress rehearsals.
And, for example, if you have a child who has what you think is a great voice, is it a matter of just an audition, or what is that process?
Well, actually, it's a good question that you ask. We will very soon be posting for auditions for the children's chorus for Tosca, and we are working toward, in my third year, of actually starting to develop a program for youth, so that basically we would start a chorus program where the children focused on singing classical music and opera in particular.
Now, I've read that you work closely with Maestro Ramon Tabar, the FGO's conductor. Tell us about your collaboration and what is your joint philosophy of opera, so to speak, in terms of the classics and the contemporary?
Well, first of all, it's a real pleasure working with Ramon. He's a real gift to this community, and I think that his credits aren't quite as known as they should be. A true musician, one of the most musical conductors I've known, his knowledge of the repertoire for a relatively young man is really quite spectacular. We share a lot of philosophy. Actually, I think we share all philosophy in the fact of what you're talking about is the balance of making sure that the standard pieces that even people new to opera really want to see are represented, but also that we start to stretch our audience to introduce them, not blindly, with educational programs and other ways of introducing them to different kinds of music, but really to start to investigate great masterpieces that are neglected or 20th and 21st century work.
Now, the terrific Wagnerian Brunhilde Deborah Voigt makes a one-night appearance Saturday, October 26th at downtown Flagler's DuPont Building from 7 p.m. to midnight. I suppose this is just reward for the disappointed Wagnerians who wanted to see Tristan und Isolde this season. Tell us about the Diva evening, and when can we expect to start seeing Tristan or maybe a little The Ring cycle?
I've been hearing a lot about The Ring lately from many folks. Deborah's actually coming to be honored. We're starting an annual award of Lifetime Achievement in Opera Award. So she's actually not singing for us. She's coming in. She's actually engaged the evening before and the evening after. So she gets the night off. We're not going to make her sing for her supper. It's just really an added highlight to our annual gala, which is different this year. It's separated from our opening night. And it's, as you said, at the DuPont Building. Generally, it's at the Arscht Center. Deborah's a great segue to Wagner, for sure, since that's primarily what she's doing these days. The most disappointed person was me. Tristan and Isolde is arguably one of my top five operas, and Ramon and I both wanted to do it. It really and truly was what I said in the press. We had three productions, physical productions, under consideration, meaning the sets and the costumes. Singers were lined up. Conductor was lined up. One of them became the stage director who has first right of refusal became unavailable. The second one, the company decided they didn't want to rent it. And we were at that critical point where we really, in good conscience, needed to release the singers. And we just truly couldn't put it together. But as you mentioned, Wagner is very, very expensive. The quality of the singers, the level of production value. And so it is a challenge to produce Wagner.
Now, as a real change of pace and space, the season begins November 7th at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts with composer and Fort Lauderdale resident Martin David Levies. Morning Becomes Electra. A quick synopsis of the work and your opinion of the singular achievement of the composer in this work.
Wow, a quick synopsis is tough. I guess it depends how much folks have actually read the Aeschylus tragedy. I mean, I'm not sure how far back people go, but it really is, in short order, about a family that's cursed. And it's full of murder, lust, incest. It's got everything in it, layered with an incredible score. And for me, a lot of people have asked me, why would I choose to start with that? It does respond to the community since Maestro Levy is a present resident of Fort Lauderdale. But I think the layering of the piece, the complexity of the story, the way his music makes the drama of that piece come alive is really what drew me to it.
Verdi's Nabucco opens the 2014 year, January 25th, The Tale of Jews in Babylon. The famous chorus, Va pensiero su alle dorati. There's a very high soprano tessitura, very treacherous. What are we going to expect?
Well, the answer there is one word, Gulagina. We've really gone out and had Maria Gulagina come to South Florida to really make the role of Abigailia come alive.
And then a season without Puccini in South Florida seems like treason, and we will not be disappointed. Tosca hasn't been here for about 7 years.
Correct. Really excited to be producing it. Gorgeous set, spectacular cast, folks that are really well known for singing their roles, and I think it'll be a real vocal treat.
And your season ends starting May 3rd with Jules Massenet's Thaïs. It's not produced as often as Manon or Werther. A courtesan, a monk, an odd couple, a well-known Méditation, the entr'acte for violin and orchestra, and scenes from Act 2. What can we look forward to?
Well, Eglise Gutierrez, probably the number one answer, certainly a South Florida favorite, and just overall a visually spectacular production.
And finally, for our listeners, both opera beginners and veterans, what can we expect maybe from the following season? I know we're looking ahead a little bit. And any tips to beginners coming to the opera?
Start with the latter. Tips for beginners. This year we're starting talkbacks, so you can actually stay at the end of the performance. We'll pull up the curtain and answer questions. Singers will join us. It'll be a great experience. Looking to the future, we're nailing things down. We'll have that same kind of mix of new work to the audiences in South Florida, complemented by great classics.
Well, let's go to the opera. Thank you, Susan, for being on South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you.
Changes in management and direction at a large regional institution like the Florida Grand Opera are never easy. But the FGO and CEO Susan Dennis seems determined to steer the way in a conservative and sensible fashion to survive both tougher financial times and a newer generation of opera fans. Years of solid and successful productions are its trademark, and it's not hard to imagine that the FGO will continue its quest to remain one of the country's leading opera companies. For information on tickets and scheduling, contact 1-800-741-1010 or go to their website at fgo.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield is a classical music contributor for the Sun Sentinel and has written for the Miami Herald. You can email him at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment.